So at this time, I'd like to introduce Lynette. She's going to come up and share that with you. And Lynette, we just want to thank you so much for being here for our conference. So you come and present.
All right. Before they show the video, I'm going to take a couple minutes and just briefly answer some questions for you that I get asked at every church I go to. So that way you get all of the details all in one. The video shares a little bit about my testimony and how the Lord led me to South Africa. But I do want to take a really quick minute and say thank you to Pastor and your staff. It has been a wonderful week already, and I know we have a couple more days, but I really enjoyed getting to know many of you and spending time with you. Your church is very friendly and welcoming, and that is not the case at every place that we go to. So I want to say thank you for that, because you make us feel like we're at home. And that's amazing. It's an amazing place to be. And I can tell that you have a heart for mission. So thank you very much. And I also want to say greetings from South Africa. I talked to your missionaries, Kevin and Corley Hall, yesterday a little bit, and spent some time visiting with Corley. And she told me to make sure that you guys know thank you for supporting them, and that they are happy that I'm here, but that that they can be a part of your missions family.
Amen.
So first question I always get asked is, what led you to be a missionary? Or how did God call you to be a missionary? And I think there's a lot of different answers that people can give. But I want to say that it really just is an act of obedience, a step of obedience in your Christian life. And it starts with the small things that lead to one big decision. And I feel like that began for me when I was 15 years old. We moved to Missouri, and my dad took a pastorate at our assistant pastor job in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, as a youth pastor. It was the first church that I had ever been to where we actually got to meet missionaries face-to-face. Previously, we went to church, but they didn't support missions, and kind of my dad worked in a different ministry that didn't have local missions that they supported either. And so that was my first chance to meet a missionary face-to-face. And from the very first missions conference that I ever went to, I was intrigued by what these people got to do and just how God used them in a greater way. And we went on a mission trip that very first summer after we moved to Missouri to Monterrey, Mexico. And I met some missionaries there who took us literally just from church to church. They are three generations of missionaries there in Monterrey, and they all had churches. There was about 75 churches there at that time, all started amongst that family. And we visited a different church every night for 10 days straight. And all we did was sing, testify, and greet people, because there's a huge language barrier from all of us Americans. And so we just spent time getting to know people and getting to know those missionaries. And each night after the service, we would sit on the balcony at the seminary there, and they would just take time getting to know us and share what God had done in their lives. And that made a lasting impression on me. They are nobody special. They were nobody that had super talents or amazing degrees or anything, but God used them to minister to their own people. Some of them are nationals. Some of them are from America. And so that was my first step. And I remember leaving there, and he said, God can use you no matter where you are. And I went home after that missions trip, and I remember saying, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will go. And I just kept saying that. Little by little throughout my high school years, I went to Canada. I've been to Mexico. We would have teen revivals at our church, and I would say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do it. And little by little, those steps of obedience became where God would lead me to Bible college and to come back to my home church to teach at our Christian school. And you'll see some pictures of that in the video. But each one of those steps of obedience led me to 2018, where I went to a missions trip to South Africa with our youth group. And I met the missionaries that I'm now going to work with. So that's my experience in missions. But then the next question I always get asked is, what are you going to be doing when you get there? You're a single girl. You're not going to start a church. Obviously, I'm not going to preach. But when I get there, I'll be working with a team of missionaries. There's four families, all church planting there in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. One of them is Kevin and Corley Hall. Kevin's brother Jeremy is there as well, and his family. And then their cousin, Mark Coffey, is a missionary there and has been there for the last 13 years. I think maybe 8 to 10 years, but I can't remember the exact number. But he my home church has supported him for years. So we went to visit him in 2018, and he asked me, would you be willing to come back and help us start a Christian school? And I told him no, honestly. I was very content and very in my very stable in my own comfort zone where I had grown up. And I learned very quickly that a comfort zone is a great place to be, but God never really uses us in that comfort zone, or at least not. He doesn't use us dynamically in those comfort zones. And so he said, well, why don't you come back for a summer? You know, you're a teacher. You have 2 months off, 3 months off in the summer. And I said, okay, well, I'll pray about it. So then he emailed me. Then his wife emailed me. And little by little, we started corresponding. And I said, okay, I will come for a summer, but that's it. And so I got there in 2019, and he asked, he said, well, we're getting ready to start a Christian school maybe sooner than when you actually could come. And I said, wait a minute, I didn't tell you I was coming. And he said, no, I really want you to pray about this, Lynette. And I've learned when people say that, maybe they see something in you that you could be of value to their ministry, and maybe you should just stop and pray about it, because God might use them to speak to your heart about something that you didn't even think about at that time. And so I began praying about it, but I told him, I'm not giving you an answer until I leave. I'm going to go home, I'll talk to my pastor, and maybe I'll give you an answer. And it wasn't 3 weeks later, maybe 4 weeks later, I was sitting in the back of a taxi. We were sightseeing that day, and I messaged my parents from the back of the taxi and our family group message and my siblings and everybody. And I said, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know this is where God wants me to be. And my dad messaged back, and he said, I knew that that was going to be the answer. And my siblings were taking bets on when this conversation would take place. So my brother and my sister were like, oh, we knew it was coming. We were just waiting for you to actually say it out loud. So I'm going to work with them. They have since started a Christian school. I finished my teaching in 2020 and was going to start deputation, but they started a school before I could get there. So I will be working part-time in the school, but I'm also going to be working with Mark and Amy. They have a ministry called Camp Rhino. And a church camp there, and you'll see some pictures and things there that how they're ministering to the young people there in South Africa. The last question I always get asked is, what specifically will you be doing there? And that is, the camp is probably going to be my biggest ministry, as well as a new ministry that's getting ready to start there called the South Africa Youth Home. And I could spend hours telling you about the cultural traditions of South Africa and how they're really damaging to the young people there. But I'm just going to share one quick story. When I was there in South Africa, they were telling me a little bit about their culture and how the teenagers are very, they live a very impure life, but that's normal to them. They don't know any better. And they have these teens who are coming to church and learning about God and getting saved, and that they just need to be discipled, because literally you're having to recreate what family looks like to them. They don't know right from wrong. And we all say we have this, you know, conscience that should tell us that, but they've never been taught. So they might have an inner voice speaking to them, telling them right from wrong, because God gives each one of us that. But we also know that most of our framework from where we get that right and wrong comes from what we've been taught. And so they were explaining to me the culture, and part of the culture there is that young ladies especially are expected to have a child out of wedlock. That's part of their culture. It's normal for them. They have a child, and that's like a rite of passage into adulthood for them. And once they have that child, they don't raise that child. They give it back to their grandparents or their mom to raise, and then they can live however they want until they decide they're going to be a grown-up and be an adult. And it really struck me, because I am from a Christian home, but my parents are first-generation Christians. And if it had not been for somebody speaking into their life and teaching them about the Bible and teaching them what is right and what is wrong according to God's word, I would not be where I am today. And that is so true of those young ladies. They would not be where they are today if it wasn't for a Mark and Amy Coffey, who went to South Africa at some point. And shortly after I left South Africa in 2019, I met a pastor who was there preaching as a guest pastor of the Coffees. And I was talking to him and listening to his sermons online. And he shared this quote, and I just want to share this quickly, and then we'll watch the video. He shared this quote, and he said, it's from a 19th century pastor years and years ago. And he quoted this about discipleship in one of his books. And he said, the truly righteous man will always invest in the next generation. And that is what the Coffees have really set out to do as part of their mission. Because the church in South Africa will not last if there aren't young people who know what is right and what is wrong, and how to serve the Lord as they grow into adulthood. And so that is where I'm going to be ministering and spending most of my time. This video was done 2 years ago, So the pictures are a little bit older, but it also doesn't share a little bit about the youth home. So I wanted you to specifically know about that and how they're going to be investing in those young people, discipling and mentoring them. So thank you for having me. Thank you for giving the missions. And thank you for investing in people who are serving the Lord here and around the world.